The View starts live right now. The defense rests. The co-hosts are breaking down day one of Trump on trial, from rumors that the defendant dozed off.
I guess that makes you Dozo the Clown, huh?
To how some Republicans are arousing suspicion with their comments on the proceedings.
My plea is to the people of Manhattan that may sit on this trial. They should vote not guilty.
And whether finding an impartial jury will be an impossible dream. Then, two-time Oscar-winning superstar Michael Douglas is live to talk about his historic new role as Franklin. Plus, why does everything have to be about race? New York Times bestselling author Keith Boykin gives his eye-opening answer. Here come Hot Topics with Whoopi, Sarah Haynes, Anna Navarro, Joy Behar, Sunny Hostin, and Alyssa Farah Griffin. Now, let's get things started. Wake me up before you go.
Yeah.
So we walked out to Wham's Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go because yesterday was the first day of You Know Who's Hush Money trial, and among the many reports coming out of the courtroom is that You Know Who could not keep his eyes open. Daily Show's Jon Stewart gave his legal analysis of CNN's coverage about this, and take a look.
40 minutes ago, you wrote an observation that I was very surprised. Trump appears to be sleeping. His head keeps dropping down and his mouth goes slack. Tell us about that.
Well, Jake, he appeared to be asleep.
Hey, Jake. What part of head down, eyes closed, drool coming of his mouth do you not get over here? He's snoring. He's doing the Hong Shu. He's doing the me, me, me. Imagine committing so many crimes, you get bored at your own trial.
So, over 50 potential jurors have already been excused for admitting they could not be impartial. But what for you all was the big takeaway from yesterday?
Well, the sleeping part is, you know, I mean, between the breaking the laws, posing for mugshots, selling Bibles, the man is exhausted. But, you know, only a true sociopath can fall asleep in these circumstances. Think about it.
Yeah.
He could go to jail, he could go to prison, takes a little nap. That requires a psychopathic mentality.
Don't they say the innocent person sleeps in jail for the night? There's a saying.
I think it's the guilty person who sleeps.
I mean, guilty, sorry, guilty
yeah.
person.
Yeah.
That all makes sense with that swap. Okay, yes, that's what I meant.
The guilty person sleeps the sleep of the psychotic.
But I think one thing that kind of blared over all of this is that someone with this many legal problems cannot be an effective president of this country, considering all that's going on in the world. Mm-hmm. Right now, we have Iran just bombed Israel.
That's right.
Russia and Ukraine, the war is still going on. We've got problems here that bipartisan concerns about our border and everything mm-hmm. else. And you've got a man right now worrying about paying off a porn star. I'm slightly embarrassed, by the way, every time I look up and I think about what people are dealing with globally and that this is the wall-to-wall circus we have to watch right now. And I'm a bit trumped out at this point. I kind of want the highlight reel at the end of the day.
Oh, it's just beginning.
Yeah, no, I'm not trumped out at all.
I am so trumped out.
This is a legal nerd's Super Bowl, right? Like, I'm kind of excited about
the fact. That's the part I need to do.
But that's exciting to someone like me because, you know, the 50 people said, I can't even be impartial, which I admire them for their forthrightness and their honesty because you have to be honest when you're a juror. But I still believe that they will be able to find an impartial jury. They are never going to find someone that doesn't know about the former twice impeached loser president, right? They're never going to find that. But what I did find also interesting about my Super Bowl is that the legal teams will be checking the jurors' social media profiles to see if they can assess the truthfulness and intention of what they said during voir dire, which is their questioning. And I think that's really, really important, because if you start liking Trump's and you follow Trump's stuff on social media, can you be impartial? I don't really think so. And I think what could happen in a case like this is if you have someone, and we were talking about this morning, someone named Clay Travis is sort of telling people to get onto that jury. You get one person that sneaks onto that jury with untoward feelings, that person can hang that jury.
How do you sneak onto a jury? You have to be called
to a jury. Well, you lie. You say, I hate Trump. But I can be impartial, and I this than that, and then all of a sudden, that's the person.
Yeah, well, they're going to find a jury of his peers. How many bloated orange psychos out there?
Yeah,
so
it's going to be tough.
I was a little bit fascinated by the falling asleep bit of it, and because in my personal experience, he's a very high-energy person. But why I buy this is, A, Maggie Haberman's an impeccable reporter, and other people witnessed it. But he also is somebody who's easily distracted. And when you're in these court hearings, it is procedure. It is motions. Like, they go on for hours. Not a whole lot happened yesterday. And it's also a reminder that...
Did anyone else fall asleep?
No.
Just unclear.
And by the way, lawyers tell you, please look alert.
The lawyer was
look
passing
invested.
Him a note, and he couldn't even say it. But it does track, because I would be in briefings with him on one particular topic, and then he would just completely sideline it and take it a different direction. This is, like, the worst-case scenario for someone with his attention span. But here's what I'll say is this is not a case that keeps him up at night. What worries him about this case is, frankly, I think how his wife may respond to things that come out in testimony.
Does he really care?
There's a personal element.
Does he care about
his
wife?
But what he worries about is the January 6th case, which we don't know if it will move before the election. That is the primary reason he's running for president, is because if he's convicted in that case, he will see jail time, and he is trying to run for president to outrun the courts so that he can pardon himself.
Well, and back to the legal problems, he could pardon himself on the two federal cases, but that Georgia case...
Not on this case.
He would be, God forbid, but president while doing a trial. Like, he would have to attend these trials.
Correct. And one thing that...
He can't pardon himself on this New York case either. And so
the federal case. Yeah, I just mean the federal cases he can. The one that's still lingering after all of this work that he has to attend on the daily will be another trial.
What's very important is that he can't pardon himself if he gets convicted in New York.
But the other thing I just want to know is, like, it is so frustrating as a Republican that this is what we signed up to do again. Like, this is the whole campaign. Courtrooms, occasionally traveling, not actually talking about issues voters care about. And I think, like, I know how you guys feel about Nikki Haley, but say it was Nikki Haley, she would be crisscrossing the country. She'd be in two states a day in battlegrounds talking about what voters want to hear about. And we're not getting that. It's honestly such a disservice to the American public that this is what we have.
Well, you can thank your Republican colleagues.
By the way, though, it was a short primary that was stacked in Trump's favor. He worked years in advance, as Sarah pointed out, to make it better.
Mitch McConnell, all of them. They could have done it, and they didn't do it, and now we have it.
That's where we're at. Yep. And you know where else we're at? We have a legal note. Trump has pleaded not guilty to falsifying business records and has denied ever having an affair with Stormy Daniels.
But if Michael Cohen had to go to jail for the same thing, then Trump has to go. It's the same case.
See, I think he'll be convicted.
I think he'll be convicted, and
I don't think he'll see jail time.
I think he should receive jail time. But,
and why won't he receive? Because he's the president.
You know we're going to break, right?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll be right back.
But isn't it like...
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing? Is it running on high? Is it drained or somewhere in between? Sometimes life gets so busy and we forget to check in with ourselves. With social gatherings picking up, it's easy to spread ourselves thin. I've been thinking a lot about finding the right balance. How much socializing is just right for you? And how do you recharge? Maybe you're a social butterfly or someone who needs a bit more alone time. Therapy has been a game changer for many. It's not just about addressing major trauma. It's about gaining self-awareness, positive coping skills, and learning to set boundaries. It's about becoming the best version of yourself. So if you're considering therapy, why not give BetterHelp a try? It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire and you'll be matched with a licensed therapist. Plus, you can switch therapists anytime at no additional charge. Take care of your social battery, and if therapy is on your mind, BetterHelp is here for you. Cheers to self-discovery and a healthier you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/view to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/view.
This is Sunny Hostin. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree that Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every single day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/view. Just go to Indeed.com/view right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/view. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Greta here. Savings are still in the house at View Your Deal. We've partnered with vendors for half off home and kitchen products. So get shopping at viewyourdeal.com right now. Woo!
Welcome back. NFL star and Taylor Swift's gentleman caller, Travis Kelce, just sparked a lot of outrage online, apparently, after he liked a social media post that featured multiple photos of you-know-who. Now, some are claiming he's outed himself as MAGA and, you know, it's, you know, my understanding was he was responding to his friend's, a friend of his post. So I'm not sure what's going on. I don't know them, so I don't know which one. But a friend of his.
It was a post by Sage Steele that he liked. So MAGA tends to do this. They really want to, like, find celebrities who are with them, and I hate to break the news to them. He's advocated for stricter gun control. He was literally the face of the COVID vaccine, telling people to get the vaccine, a good thing, by the way. Yeah. Yeah. And he kneeled during the national anthem. Like, I don't think you just, you know, sniffed him out as a secret Trump supporter.
Yeah.
But no, I also am someone who lives in fear of accident. Like, I scroll and I've liked things and then been like, oh, no, go back and unlike it. Like, that's my theory. I've done it many times.
Yeah.
And on X, Elon makes it a lot harder to unretweet something after you do.
You know, I just found a picture on my photo thing of the the party that they have for the press every year.
The White House.
Oh, the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
That's it. I was at the Correspondents' Dinner, and I posed with Lara Trump, and Eric Trump. I saw the picture, and I thought, I have to go into rehab now.
I hate the crime that we live in.
This is before he became president. It was the Correspondents' Dinner.
Yeah, but
Obama
regardless, this
in
is
charge.
To me, like, I do not, that when I like people, whether it's on a like or my friends and family, that is not an endorsement of everything they've said,
yes,
everything they've done, everything. Typically, when you're posing for a picture or you're doing something, let's let that go back to the good old days when that's all it was. Because I hate this cancel by association. If you've had a picture in your 45-year-old life with someone that said this and that, then you're an awful human being. That is not humanity. That's not what we learned from our parents. It's not what we learned from church.
But
this is a crazy time we're living in, I think.
I have a theory. I think that this was an accidental like. You know, and everybody's been up late at night scrolling. I tend to purchase items off of Instagram late at night. But I think he may have been, you know, scrolling. Sage Steele was an important sports reporter on ESPN. They probably met through ESPN. And then he was like, oh, look at Sage. And then all the articles came out. And now he has unliked it because he was like, oh, wait. Oh, he's still liking it. But, okay, well, that doesn't matter to my point. I think it was just an accidental either like or he's just supporting
I agree with Sarah on this. Like, I was with good friends this weekend of mine who some of them are still Trump supporters. And I've made peace with that. We can talk politics if they engage me. We can disagree. And sometimes you just have to accept that you're not going to agree with
Joy,
them. My best friend's a Democrat.
That?
Like, you can do that.
She posed with Trump people in the Bahamas.
Can you make peace?
Like, you've got...
So?
She might be on their Christmas card.
So what?
She probably
That's
is.
That's true.
Let's start forgiving,
Anybody
guys.
Anybody who knows me knows where I stand on this. So the picture with Eric Trump is meaningless.
But I bet Travis feels the same way about things he does.
That's what
I
think.
And you can have friendships with people who you don't agree with directly politically.
Oh, God, please, think about how much disagreement there is in the world. If you had to vet every single person by complete monoliths of beliefs, it'd be boring and it's impossible.
She's got to go.
We're boring, Whoopi.
She gets that look, you know?
She's bored.
I am. It's quite possible that none of this is important.
I certainly hope so.
Whoopi
is like the Oracle of Delphi, you know? She comes in with that thing, and then everybody claps, and that's it.
Because it occurred to them, why is everybody so upset? You got bills to pay. Why are you paying all that attention to what he's doing?
There are a lot of people
he is
that
not worried about
to it.
Yeah, but I'm. Yeah. That's my point. He's not paying your rent, and he don't care what you think. How about that? We'll be right back.
Okay.
Welcome back. Two-time Oscar-winning icon Michael Douglas has picked the perfect time to play the title role in Franklin, the new limited series about founding father Benjamin Franklin's journey to find allies in the war for American independence. Take a look.
For a young man's instruction, Paris is the only city. Much indulge the senses, but also engage the intellect.
I thought I was meant to help you.
No doubt you will, somehow or another.
How long must we stay?
Until we win France to our side and secure our independence. Or we are hanged.
Is there a third choice?
I suppose there's always treason.
Michael Douglas. If you come here, I was looking forward to
it's
it.
Like old times. Really... You used to come all the time here.
All
right?
the time.
You had the same birthday as Barbara, and Catherine right. had the same birthday.
We all had the same birthdays. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I was here the first time when Barbara started.
Yeah.
All this. You were just a little girl.
Oh, yeah.
Just a wee baby.
Yeah,
that was me. Michael, you've done all kinds of things in your career. What made this? What made Franklin? Why is it? Why now?
Well, before the whole history of Franklin, I never did a period picture.
Right.
I've never, ever done, you know, anything period, you know. Used
Except
to...
for Liberace. That's the dog.
Well, that's, yeah, that's a different time, but I mean period, period.
The best.
But I just never, you know, the tights just didn't look good on these skinny legs. You know? It just didn't. So that was the original reason. You know, the last few years, I did this Kaminsky method to learn a little bit about comedy with Alan Arkin and all that. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Ben. And the Marvel Ant-Man to learn. I never did green screen, so it's really been a point where we're trying to do, you know, different stuff. But as I got into this story of Benjamin Franklin, this particular show is about a part of his life that I don't think a lot of people really knew about.
Yeah.
I mean, we all kind of from sixth grade history. The guy had only went to school for 2 years.
Yeah.
Graduated, left school when he was 12 years old, became a writer, printer, publisher, all that, started the University of Pennsylvania, libraries. I mean, the whole kit and caboodle and his inventions. But when he was 70, He was 70, 1776, mm-hmm. 6 weeks after he signed the Declaration of Independence. The founding father said, we need you to go to France.
Right.
So what? Said, we were in the middle of a war with the British, and we were getting killed. Yeah. You know, George Washington was eating it big time. We had no military. We yeah. had no soldiers, no weapons. So they asked Franklin to sail across the Atlantic, which was not that easy right. in the 1800s, to try to seduce and woo the Louis XVI, the monarchy, to support this brand new democracy, right? This whole brand new democracy. And it was an incredible story of intrigue and backstabbing and
it's
a huge
like
gamble.
What's going on with Ukraine in a way?
Well, it has
the United States from
no, it has a lot of comparisons, yeah. which came yeah. later, which yeah. was, you know, here is our new country, America, which is a little bit like Ukraine.
Right.
Being attacked by this big power, England, which could have been Russia,
yeah.
and having the America now, but in that time the yeah. French save us. So the reality is, and people forget about it, if it wasn't for the French, we wouldn't have an America.
Vive la France!
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was a fascinating history lesson, really, things that I didn't know about at all. I thought it was really just beautifully shot also, although my personal favorite is Dan from Fatal Attraction. Sorry. There's something about that movie yeah, that but, reminds me of myself.
Yeah, he almost got shot.
Now, you say you get Elon Musk vibes from him, though. How so?
Well, I mean, the unpredictability and the brilliance. I mean, Franklin was brilliant.
Right.
There's no getting around that, what he accomplished. But he still had his little picadillos. He liked the ladies.
Yes,
Elon was known
was
for that.
Too. Wasn't he
was. He was tight. He was
tight.
A little tight.
A little frugal.
But Franklin represented. He was the beginning of the middle class.
Uh-huh.
You know, mm-hmm. he was. His father was a candle maker, and mm-hmm. his whole style, you know, with that fur hat, was all an act. You know, to try to look like the proletariat, like a chubby guy. So it was a phenomenal decision, and it has a lot of parallels
yeah.
what's going on today.
Absolutely.
Most of which really is how fragile our democracy is.
Right. Well, that's what I was going to get to. Because the founding fathers were very much concerned about the democracy and did not want to live under a king anymore. And that was what this is all about. So what do you think they would, if Franklin came back now, what would he think about our situation right now? With the contender for the Republican nomination under 88 indictments,
88.
You know, mm-hmm. sexual assault liability accusations,
I think he would have a hard time believing it. There was a time back then, you know, when being a politician was almost like the priesthood.
Right.
You know, it was something to look forward to. It was somebody who, you were a public servant.
Yeah.
You supported yourself. Now in politics, in large part, at least in Washington, it's usually a stepping stone to your own lobbying job or this or that. It's a very, very frustrating time. And I think we're all looking forward to getting through this year healthfully.
Oh,
maybe getting a new start.
But you also said that playing Franklin has made you think more positively about how Biden will win. What's the connection?
Well, I guess, first of all, for one reason, when I talk about when he was 70
yes.
going over. All right, 18th century, the average age of an American was 45.
Yeah,
right. Wow. All right, that was the average age.
That's
of
right. So he was a super ager.
So, I mean, Biden looks like a kid. I mean, he'll be like, you know, in terms of what he's accomplished. So I don't worry about age, age so much.
Right.
But I think in terms of our presidency, we're looking at one man who sort of reverts back. I think, was he like a senator at 29?
Yes.
Yeah. Wasn't he like, you know, his
youngest,
entire life has been
senator.
Serving the people in public, you know, versus an entrepreneur.
That's the very
sweet
way to put it.
Thank you.
Well, Franklin is quite a departure from your most recent role as Dr. Hank Pym in Marvel's mm-hmm. Ant-Man movies. Now, you have said, that you would return for a fourth installment, but you said that you would like your character to be killed off if you return. Why, and do you have any ideas of how you'd want that to happen?
How do you explain that? Like,
no, and this actually was my request for the third one.
Yes, there are.
And then I was saying, so at least, you know, I was hearing this is new characters involved and all that, so I said, I'd like to have a serious, you know, with all these great special effects, there's got to be some fantastic way where I can shrink to an ant size and explode, like, you know, I don't know, whatever it is. I want to use all those those effects. But that was on the last one. Now, I don't think I'm going to show up.
Well, as long as you're here right now, I think we're all happy. So we're going to go take a break. We'll be back with more with Michael Douglas.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Shopify. Ready to make the smartest choice for your business? Say hello to Shopify, the global commerce platform that makes selling a breeze. Whether you're starting your online shop, opening your first physical store, or hitting a million orders, Shopify is your growth partner. Sell everywhere with Shopify's all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system. Turn browsers into buyers with Shopify's best converting checkout, 36% better than other platforms. Effortlessly sell more with Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Did you know Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and supports global brands like Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen? Join millions of successful entrepreneurs across 175 countries backed by Shopify's extensive support and help resources. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Start your success story today. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/view. Put it all in lowercase. Go to shopify.com/view now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/view.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Cheap, but I can't be had. My minimum price for taking a stranded woman to a telephone is $400.
Will you take $375 in traveler's checks?
American Express?
Of course.
Got a deal.
Good.
Michael Douglas, Sarah has the first question.
Yes, yeah, so that was a clip of Romancing the Stone, and it's the 40th anniversary.
Wow.
This year, and it was a surprise hit with Kathleen Turner, and you guys had great chemistry. Now,
also the War of the Roses.
But yeah. Well, the War of the Roses, I even know more. But yeah. Was it true that you weren't actually going to star in the film originally?
That I was going to star in it.
That you weren't going to star in it.
Well, it was that I was not approved by the studios.
Oh.
You remember, I did a television series, The Streets of San Francisco,
yes. Oh, right?
Then I produced Cuckoo's Nest as a film, get an Oscar. So I'm an Oscar-winning producer, but as an actor, I can't make the transition from television into feature films. So I offered it to Jack Nicholson and to Burt Reynolds, and finally, just by declining, they finally said, well, how about me? And so that's how it started.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Well, your old friend Danny DeVito has claimed that he saved your life after a snake bite while you were on set. And he had to suck the venom out because that's what real friends do.
He's never out of me. All right, so.
Is that how you remember it?
No, that's not how I remember. I remember being in the car because another actor, Zach Norman, who was Danny's sort of partner, had just come down from New York. Zach was a New York cat, you know, never get out of the city. And I was sitting in the car, and I was sort of showing off to him, and I had the animal trainer come over, and I grabbed the snake out of the bag, and I was talking to him in the car, and all of a sudden the snake went, and it bit me on the arm.
Oh, my God.
And I took it off, and you know, there's the little imprints where the thing was.
Yes, the fangs.
And Zach is looking at me. He just got off the plane from New York. And he's going, I said, it's okay, it's not a He says, you're bleeding, man. It's not poisonous. What do you mean it's not poisonous? You got a bite there. And Danny was in the car laughing the whole way.
So, oh, didn't suck it out.
He didn't suck
it out. If you don't want it,
he didn't get close to you, but poof.
You know what, Michael? If you had poured a little limoncello in it, he might have sucked it.
Remember when he was promoting his limoncello? Yes. He came on this show. Oh, I'm so hungover. So much limoncello in a drink last night.
One of the great moments on this on The View was Danny.
Can we talk about your dad for a second?
Sure. Yeah. Sure.
His dad, as you probably already know, Kirk Douglas. He starred in movies like Spartacus, 2000 Leagues Under the Sea, just so many. So he passed in 2020 at 103.
Wow. Wow.
He left you all of his leather-bound scripts.
Yeah.
When you had the opportunity to sort of sit with them, what happened?
Well, in those days, you know, I mean, now, as you know, they just keep sending you copies of rewrites and rewrites. But in those days, I remember when I started, you had your script and you wrote your notes in that script.
Right.
And so, you know, to go through these different movies from Lust for Life, when he played Van Gogh, to Spartacus and all of that, and to see his notes and everything was a very special moment. And of course, a lot of times that was an age when I was so young and I missed my father, him doing these pictures. Mm-hmm. But now when you get there yourself and you can look back and see what he's done. He was an extraordinary man, just extraordinary, incredible stamina. And we, as a child, you know, but I didn't see him. We probably had a little more distance, but certainly later in our life became very, very close. And in his passing, I just admire him so much for what he's accomplished.
Was it difficult to have dinner with Spartacus?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I loved that. He said, what line he had, you know, if I knew how successful Michael was going to be, I would have been nicer to him.
Are you ever going to reprint the piece he did in the booklet? Do you remember that booklet? He did a wonderful, I think it was a letter. Was it a letter or...
He loved you.
Well, I
know that
him.
We both saw you when you first were on Broadway.
Yeah.
Stand up.
I know, because I saw him in the audience.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
Does your audience know what a great stand-up comedian you are?
Thanks. Yeah. They might know, they might not, but they know how brilliant you are.
Oh. Yeah.
And that is the purpose. Our thanks to Michael Douglas. Franklin is streaming on Apple TV Plus, and a new episode is dropping every Friday. So make sure you see it, if for no other reason, to see him dressed in those tights. it's worthwhile. We'll be right back.
About parents who just let their kid watch violent movies, play violent video games. This is about parents who neglected their son, ignored his cries for help, then bought him a gun.
The first parents in America to be charged in a school shooting.
They purchased that gun for him and bragged about it.
You don't get to walk away from that. That's a criminal act.
Sins of the Parents, the Crumbly Trials.
The opposite of love is not hate. It's just being ignored.
Only on Hulu.
Welcome back. Why does everything have to be about race? Is the response that's often fired back on topics like affirmative action, teaching black history, critical race theory, something nobody but adults learn. But that's just me. It's also the title of the latest book by New York Times bestselling author Keith Boykin, which answers 25 questions about race that won't go away. So please welcome Keith Boykin. Yay! So, good to see you. Welcome to the show. So yesterday was, at some point, we were talking about you-know-who's hush money trial. In your opinion, what would it have been like had President Obama
engaged.
Oh, my God.
In even a fraction, if he had just sucked his teeth at dinner.
Well, he wore a beige suit, you know, one time.
A tan
they
suit.
Went
yeah. And
oh
yeah, they went berserk.
Yep.
So
yeah.
What do you see there? What is going on here?
I love what you said yesterday on the show about how if Obama had been president, none of this would have been conceivable because they would have driven him out of office.
Right. Right.
And the truth is that no black person with Trump's resume or rap sheet would ever be taken seriously as a candidate for president.
Yeah.
First, when he ran in 2016, no one would have been taken seriously with six bankruptcies coming to office and three wives and two divorces and a whole history of controversy and adulterous affairs. And then when he runs again, after all the two impeachments, and now we have the four indictments and the 88 criminal charges and hundreds of millions of dollars.
Say, it's only an hour show here.
I know, right? Yeah. Exactly. No black person with that record would ever be taken seriously.
Yeah.
Right. We could go on about Donald Trump.
The list is so long. There isn't even an hour. I mean, it's scary.
Yeah.
Well, Keith, you're a lawyer and a former White House aide to President Clinton. Now, like us, you spent plenty of time covering the Trump TV and Trump on TV. And I'm an independent and have my share of Trump fatigue. I'm a bit Trumped out. But do you think this trial will move the needle for voters in kind of the middle?
Yeah, I don't know that this part of the trial will move the needle because we're doing the voir dire selection, the trial selection, jury selection part. And that's kind of boring, which is part of the reason why I guess Donald Trump was falling asleep yesterday. Although I will mention that Hillary Clinton testified for 11 hours and had no problem.
Staying awake,
exactly. But I think that what will happen is that once Stormy Daniels shows up and people see her and they're reminded of that affair, they're reminded of Karen McDougal, they're reminded of not just porn stars and Playboy models, but the whole history of moral infidelity.
Yeah.
And a lot of people who call themselves evangelicals really have to start to come to terms with, is this the person that we want to represent us as the leader of our country?
If they haven't yet, do you think they're really going to after this? What?
No. Okay. No.
You were there with Clinton, and how funny things changed from the way Clinton was judged to how Trump is being kind of passed on and allowed.
That's exactly right, Sarah. And I think that, you know, what Joy was saying is that if they haven't realized yet, will they ever realize? Part of the issue, I think, is that a lot of people are not movable, and those are the people who are just solid core Trump supporters. But there are people who are independents, like you, Sarah, who could be persuaded.
I'm not going that way, so don't try to.
I know, right, exactly. People who could be persuaded if they just have more information. And I think right now people are just kind of looking at where the world is right now, but they've forgotten where we were 4 years ago when we were in the middle of the COVID crisis, when we were being told to drink bleach.
By the president,
not to wear masks, not to do social distancing, not to follow the public health guidance, all by the president of the United States who's supposed to be helping to lead us out of the crisis.
Well, hopefully we will be reminding them of that. Let me ask you about your book, because I loved it, and I've recommended it to so many people. It's called Why Does Everything Have to Be About Race? 25 Arguments That Won't Go Away. Now, you break down these common myths to help explain why race really still needs to remain part of the conversation. You quote Tommy Lahren saying, "I don't see color." To Trevor Noah, but she's certainly not the only person to have said that or who have thought that we should be a colorblind society and not talk about race, because talking about race is divisive. What do you say to those who believe we're beyond a society that needs to be seen through a racial lens?
Well, the funny thing, Sonny, is that when Tommy Lahren made that statement on The Daily Show, she said, "I don't see color." Trevor Noah responded right back and said, "Well, what do you do at a traffic light?"
Right. right.
Clearly, we all see color. Right. This idea that somehow color doesn't exist. My life has never been colorblind. I was born in a segregated hospital in St. Louis, Missouri. Mm-hmm. My birth certificate identified me as Negro.
Yes.
From the moment I was born, I was labeled by my color. My parents both attended segregated schools, racially segregated schools in St. Louis. When I went to high school, I was the first black president of my high school and the first black editor of my college newspaper. Not because I was the first black person to be qualified, but because black people had been excluded for hundreds of years from those opportunities.
Right.
So I think we have this mythology around colorblindness, and we think Dr. King said everyone should be colorblind. And Dr. King never said that. What he said instead, I thought you were going to say something, but what he said instead was the idea that we should be color kind, not color blind. Yeah. We shouldn't judge people negatively because of their color, but we shouldn't erase or deny the fact that we have differences. Our diversity is our beauty. It's what makes us happy.
That's what makes us strong
as people.
And there are systems in place still to this day resulting from this racial
There are systems divide. In place, and we don't sometimes realize how pervasive it is, but we're on 66th Street here. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that, but we're on West 66th Street here in Manhattan. If I walk outside and try to get a taxi cab and raise my hand, I'm still less likely to get a taxi than a white person who just tries to get a taxi because I'm black.
Right.
If I go into a shopping mall or department store, I'm more likely to be followed because I'm black. If I'm driving down the street, I'm more likely to be stopped by police and more likely to be arrested because I'm black. America has never been a colorblind society.
They see us.
Yeah. Right.
But you know, if we're being seen, you need to be seen too. All you women out there, our issues are your issues.
Yes.
Keep in mind, we're all affected by all this stuff. This is not just one group. This is everybody. Don't forget that. Anywho. Thanks, Keith. The book is fantastic.
Yeah. Thank you.
It's fantastic.
Thank you, Whoopi.
And the book is called Why Does Everything Have to Be About Race? It's available now, and you can also get it on Audible. And do yourself a favor, pick this up, because this is your story, too. These questions will help you. We'll be right back.
Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So, if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers Group Text Podcast, now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip. In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one group text you won't want to exit.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Tomorrow, the cast of the groundbreaking sitcom A Different World is having a class reunion on The View. Plus, music icon Huey Lewis talks about bringing the heart of rock and roll to the Broadway stage.
Well, so Alyssa is on the Behind the Table podcast. Thanks for watching. Thanks for coming. We'll see you tomorrow. Take a little time to enjoy The View.
Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers Group Text Podcast now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip. In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one group text you won't want to exit.